Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, a very special guest, New York State Assembly Member Al Taylor. Assemblyman Al Taylor represents New York's 71st Assembly District, covering Harlem, Washington Heights, and Inwood. He was elected in 2017. He previously served as Chief of Staff to long-term Assemblyman Member Herman Denny Farrell Jr., God rest his soul. He is the founder of Man Up in Harlem, a community-based violence prevention initiative credited with reducing gun violence and replicating across Upper Manhattan. In the Assembly, Taylor has passed legislation strengthening police accountability, improving early voting access, protecting children with severe allergies, and enhancing emergency responses. Assemblyman, welcome to Reaching Out.
Hey, thank you so much for the invitation. And I'm sorry you had to read a dissertation before we can open up. I don't even know who that guy is. He's been here that long. I just got here yesterday.
Well, I could tell you, when you work, you don't realize all the things you do. When you put your head up and somebody starts talking to you, you say,
I did that too.
But when you work every day, you don't have to count what you do.
Amen.
Let your work speak for you. And yes, the reverend, you know what that is.
It said, let the work that I do speak for me. All right, preacher.
There you go. Oh, my dad was the pastor. I'm just the son.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're a PK.
Yeah, I'm a PK.
We ain't going to go there. We may not have enough time, but if we do, okay. I'm coming back, PK.
All right. Now you know, every time we meet, you just get a little more about me.
Yes.
You founded Man Up. We mentioned that in the introduction in Harlem a few years ago. To combat gun violence. What inspired you to start that work, and how did those early community efforts shape you as a leader today?
Wow. Thank you so much again for allowing me to be in this space. And I think it's a combination of everything, Mr. President. So in 2008, there were 4 homicides in a 30-day period in the Polo Grounds, a NYCHA property. One individual was set afire, and he succumbed to his injuries, and 3 others were shot at different instances. And my mind was overwhelmed with, like, what do we do? What can happen here? You can't police your way out of this. And I realized that part, because there is a level of, we're not at the same page sometimes. And in the best laid efforts, things will go wrong. So you don't want police in there. And I thought about it. We were already in Bronx River public housing doing prayer walks at that point for about 2.5 years. And we saw transformation. And honestly, I did not want to go to the Polo Grounds, having grown up in the Polo Grounds. When I say grown up, I hung out there. I was like, I'm not going in there. You know, some of the younger heads. But at the end of the day, I said, why don't we use this method to pray here and see what happens? And for almost 4 years, there was no homicides. And you referenced something about, you just do the work. We got a call from then Police Commissioner Ray Kelly. And he said, my name is Ray Kelly. I want to thank you. I was like, who? Police Commissioner Ray Kelly said, get out. He told me that the statistics were showing that crime had dropped in the Polo Grounds. The gunfire was almost to 0. And then he gave me reports on others. So we were in Bronx River. We were in, and we went into Grant in Manhattan after there was big beef between the 2 of those. And a young lady they call, oh my God, I just blanked her name, but she was shot. So at one point we had 9 locations, predominantly 7 or 8 of those locations were in public housing, and transformation was happening before people were being funded to be, violence interrupters, credible messengers. So it has prepared me by remembering where I've come from and those that are in those spaces and how do we help them. That was a long answer, sorry.
No, that was a great, great answer. It brought us to the problem, And what you said was most impressive. Let your work speak for you. Commissioner, Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, who was one of our celebrated police commissioners, I believe he was two terms.
Yes.
Appointed by Dinkins, he was appointed by Bloomberg.
Wow.
Yeah, that's rare.
Wow.
I'm one of my celebrated police commissioners, Ray Kelly, called you up and thanked you for the work that you've done. And it proved through statistics that your program was working and still works to this day.
Yes.
What lessons did you learn from that experience that still guide your work in Albany?
I forgot to mention that I also lived in NYCHA at one point, living in Dightman prior to going into the military. And so you take with you who you are. No matter where you go, that's who you are. And I have the, like today, the lobbyists that are here today, the community advocates, community, it says communities, not cages. So there are always people here, Community Voices Heard, which is part of NYCHA, voice that advocates. So I'm seeing those people. And then when I'm in a room and I'm speaking or I'm listening, I have that in the background, kind of like the canvas of what I'm working from. It has some spots on it because those are experiences. And then how can I add to that? But also, am I being effective? And does this make sense? And then lending your voice in that space, like, you know, everybody doesn't have an intercity experience, but whether you're in Buffalo, Rochester, New York City, if you lived in an urban setting, you know what it is, and you know we get the short. So advocating, I used to tell people, I got my mother's mouth. Like, she worked for the hospital, and she had a big mouth. And finding your voice in this place is easy when you know why you're here.
Which hospital did your mother work in?
My mother worked for, I know where she was. She was at 168th in Fort Washington, and she worked with those that had mental health issues.
Okay.
Yep. She was in that profession, and she used to work. There was one upstate, and it seemed like everybody that migrated from the South was able to get into the hospitals. So my mother worked at the hospital until she became ill and had to leave Harlem to go to Dightman. But I want to say Psychiatric Institute right there on 168th and Fort Washington.
And I'm sure it's been since closed. And
it may have. Yeah,
because a lot of the state institutions have closed. So what do you believe needs to happen now to improve safety and quality of life and public housing across New York City?
I think we need to make sure we're listening, not just to the residents. Let me back it. Listening to the residents, listening to the workers, and then coming to a space and say, well, how can we do what we do better? For example, NYCHA residents in my office, we get a lot of them that are coming in because of heat or hot water, but also they're looking to maintain their residence. And by that, what's the term? It's escaping me. Like, when you're in a tenement, if someone dies, you have rights. And in nature, if you don't have your name on the lease, they want to remove you. And it sometimes it can be just a glitch. You don't know that you're not on it because the head of household didn't tell you you weren't or you were. And at that point, when the person is deceased, you find out, I'm not on it. So now we're advocating to make sure that those folks are still able to stay. And if they can't, what is it? Succession rights. The succession rights that NYCHA has is different from what other folks would have. So for me, advocating, and especially in Polo Grounds, one of my favorite places, there's so much going on right there. The biggest thing that I think I struggle with when it comes to NYCHA is getting people to realize that they really matter. That they, you know, and there's so much power there. So whether I'm talking to past, present, or future tenant association leaders, can we get to a space where at least 100 at any given complex is willing to come together and say, we gel together. We are the glue of this particular place. And when we speak, you can get action happen. So for me, advocating for them, whatever resources we can bring. But then I think the deeper part for me is getting them to understand that you freaking matter. And a lot of times, like I'm talking to people when I'm in the polo grounds that it could be the grandchildren of people I hung out with. And while they're there for the resources, sometimes, Mr. President, they're not there when it really matters. Like, I need you to get involved in everything, not just the food pantry, not just there's an incident, everybody's in an uproar, but what are some of the other things that we can do? So bringing resources to public housing is helpful, but also trying to get the resident to see beyond what's in front of them. Because there's a system that says, we can use this because you're sitting on Waterview property. I don't know. It's constantly there. And having lived in NYCHA, I am an example of what happens when you engage in the civic process and what it looks like to be an activist, taking your resources and experiences and coming back and saying, we can do this. Let's gel. Let's build.
That's well put. That's well put.
Thank you.
How do you see their role in protecting communities? Teamsters Local 237 represents school safety agents and many public service workers, hospital police, campus peace officers, Department of Homeless Services, HRA, NYCHA workers. How do you see their role in protecting communities? And what support do they need from government leaders?
Great question. I think being attentive to what you or your organization may present to me, but public service workers are the backbone of New York City. Nothing happens without them. So whether they're, you know, I mean, like literally, you can't move in the morning because there's a school safety person right there. Bam. Right. They're right there. They're doing the thing. The safety agents, when I go through the schools and OK, you have your ID. Yeah. They're keeping our community safe. So we don't have some of, I want to be respectful, some of those tragedies that have happened outside of this city that people say is out of control. We don't have mass shootings because they're in place doing the things necessary, not only to keep the residents in the community safe, but every child that walks through that door. And anytime there's an opportunity where somebody does something unintelligent, you guys are right there on it, making sure that that kid isn't moving through the system with that. Government must be supported with proper training, fair compensation, and safe working conditions. And with respect to their work, you can't find people that are working to protect others that you can't protect them. They got to be protected. So however way I can be a voice, however way I can lend my support, and I want to thank you for over the years of supporting me. I feel like that guy, two gun Sam, like you doggone rootin' tootin'. We got to take care of our safety workers. We got to take care of our city employees. And especially, I'm trying to think of this guy. His name is Angelo. And every time I come to the polo ground, he's one of the workers. And like, I look for him. Like we have a, I love it. And I'm gonna get ahead of it. Maybe if you're free, we have Love Your Neighbor Day, right? I Love Your Community Day. And what we do is we start at 155th under the Viaduct at the parking lot. And we go from that location all the way over to Wrangell Houses, and we're cleaning up. We're inviting people to clean. We got kids from PS 46. We got Parks Department. And the idea, people say, well, that ain't gonna make no difference. Maybe it doesn't to you, but somebody's gonna say, my community matters and I wanna help. We get like 75 people and we just go in and do what we gotta do. But we have to continue to love on our community because people don't care who you know until they know that you love them.
That's true. That's true.
They do not care.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237 Teamsters, with us first time, very special guest, Assemblyman Al Taylor. So we're here talking about the issues in his community and how he is working to make it better. You've been a strong advocate for the affordable housing, education, and civil rights. What current initiatives or policies are you most proud of that directly help working families?
I'm proud to say that the work that I've done to help working families is a combination of things. Tenant Protection Act, signing on, co-signing, leading legislation in conversations about affordable housing efforts, education investments, and access to mental health resources. So, and I want to underscore the mental health piece. And I remember having this conversation with the governor just before we went into COVID, because I had a family member, I don't want to say where they lived in NYCHA, but when they've got all the resources around them, they're able to go to work, follow their schedule. But the minute there's a disconnect, they're out there with a bat wielding it. And the people in the neighborhood, because community is important, know her, will reach out to a family member and say, oh, you know, she's da-da-da. And even the local police know her and they handle her differently and they get her where she needs to be. But in a society that we live in right now, everybody doesn't know you. And if community's not engaging, then that individual can end up in a morgue based on somebody feel threatened. And rather than talking that person out of that scenario or down, they'd rather shoot them because they had a bat. So it's important that we continue to work to make sure, and I want to focus, and it has always been making New York livable and affordable for the people that keep it going. Working families should definitely not have to choose between feeding their families, getting medicine, or paying their rent. We got to make sure that they can pay their rent and feed their family and just level the playing field financially. And so I'm always advocating, one of the things that the governor has in her program in her budget is universal child care. If there's a place for your child to be that's credible and safe, that means you can go to work and not worry about where your child is. And it bears out. If we look back maybe a year or two, some folks had a daycare, and in that space, Mr. President, fentanyl was in there, and a child died needlessly because of that. So we want to make sure that we have viable places that are vetted, that can take care of our kids while that parent is at work trying to get ahead. And in the Black and Brown community, it's crucial, not just in New York City, but across the state, to make sure that we make the universal child care available, but also making sure fair wages for folks that they can live and thrive, not just make it from paycheck to paycheck.
I remember that incident where fentanyl was being stored where children
yes.
watched the nursery.
Yep.
And yep. It was a very chaotic situation. That fentanyl is dangerous. Very dangerous. It was inhaled while the children were sleeping. And yes, yeah, tragedy occurred. Yes. You wear many hats. Pastor, community leader, and legislator. But you only have one head. What continues to motivate you? With many hats, one head. What continues to motivate your commitment to public service?
I think our faith should guide us. And if someone professes their faith, then I really like, not judgmental, but look to see. One of the things I learned from the late Denny Farrell was a broken clock can be right twice a day. So we may not rock or agree on a lot of things, but it's okay to have the dialogue because there may be something in the middle, and issues will bring you to the table. So for me, service is a calling. A lot of this stuff, I thank God that I am a legislator, but I'm also a pastor, and service is what we are. And one of the things, if you look into this book and it says, what are our responsibilities? Seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And if we do those things across the board, we're good. Now, I don't care what your faith is, but if your faith is what you tell me it is, then let me see it in action. What does it look like in action? And I try to represent what I believe, that everybody is entitled to service regardless. And how can I help them? And I may not even agree with them. And, you know, and we may not even speak, but you are at the least entitled to this service, this benefit. No one should be denied housing. Housing is a human right. And God is asking us to do unto others as we would have them do. When I was hungry, you clothed me. When I was naked, you fed. When I was in prison, you visited. So you just use those same things I do. And that's how I model. People say, you always uppity. You know, not uppity, but you always, well, this very same energy used to get me in trouble in elementary school. He does his work, he's too talkative, and he doesn't stay in his seat. And that's what would be on the back of my report card. And then I would really catch it. Oh my God, back home. Now, if my mother were alive, she could see, I get paid to talk and not stay in my seat.
Well, you were just rehearsing for what you were getting ready to do in life. And sometimes we recognize what is someone's strength, and they're showing us what the strength is. And you mentioned a former and deceased member, Denny Farrell.
Yes.
And I remember we used to have lunch with him at least once a year.
Uh-oh.
At Raymond's restaurant.
Coogan's?
Raymond's on 17th Street and 6th Avenue.
Oh, get out.
He used to come down. He had a convertible. He used to come down in that convertible. And I would look at that convertible. I said, man, look at that convertible. And he would have lunch with us. And I just learned so much just sitting down talking to the man.
Uh-oh. I got to catch up and do some lunch with y'all once a year. And I'm going to pull up in my convertible.
Well, you and I see each other at least.
Oh, we do catch up with each other.
Yeah, that was his thing. Your thing is something else. Don't do him.
Okay, good, good. All right.
You and I know where we go see, where we see each other. I enjoy running into you. Alex, you gave me a signal, and I didn't catch the signal. Okay, you gave me a two-minute warning.
Uh-oh.
What message would you want to give our listeners and viewers about building safer and stronger communities together?
Wow. Wow, this is when you look at a camera and listen. I think, what would I say? I would say to the audience that's listening, be the best you. Don't give up. Do not engage. Even when it looks like it's useless, don't. I want them to know that their work matters, their voices matter. And I'm here because you've been so doggone supportive of me from day one. And I hear what you're saying, and I always want to resonate what you're saying to me. So lean in on me and our colleagues that you have here, and it will build strong communities are built by working people, as well as we have, all of us have a role to play in creating a city that's affordable, a city that's safe, and a city that's fair to each and every one of the residents where you live. Whether it's in NYCHA or in Sutton Place, it doesn't matter. We have an entitlement. And no matter what you're experiencing, don't let anybody try to define you as being not relevant. You matter. I'm telling you, you matter. From a high school dropout to a guy that was getting in trouble, all this stupid stuff, man, I would have been written off. But Judge Bruce Wright cared about me, and that's why I'm here. And I'm here to fight for the person without a voice. I was 16, got in trouble, turn him loose, Bruce. Now I sit next to his grandson in chamber. Come on, do not quit on yourselves. It's not an option. Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful. You've been listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. With us, our very special guest, I'm going to say Reverend, Assemblyman Al Taylor. And you can come back anytime you want to come back. Just let us know.
Man,
thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you all very much.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.